There are almost 8 billion people in this world. And if even half of us like try to impact somebody positively 1% every day, like think amazing how that ripple would be. And so that's what we're just trying to do.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. My name is Javier Hinojo, and welcome to another episode of The Naked Truth about real estate investing. And today I have all the way from the UK, Susie and Michael, or Michael and Susie. A lot of the times people say the man's name first and then the woman's name first. But this time, yeah, I did it backwards, right? Because you got to go against the flow.
That's right.
So I really appreciate them for being on the podcast. I'm not sure what time it is over there. But what time is it?
It's 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Okay, it's not too bad. So we're about 5 hour difference. So not too bad. I'm going to have them go ahead and just do a quick introduction. Kind of, they'll talk about a little bit about them. And there's a couple of things I want to really ask them is how do they invest in the U.S. all the way from the U.K.? And they have this thing on their website. It says return on impact. Definitely want to hit that. And let's go, guys. Tell everybody a little bit about yourselves.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having us on. We are super excited. But it's like a little bit about me and then Michael can go about himself is that yes, like we are living all over here in the UK and I will wait to reveal why until Michael chats. But like I'm currently a program manager for a biotech company over here. And even just to like put a little glimpse, like as a military spouse, like when the opportunity of real estate investing like arose, like that was huge, right? Because now like I no longer have to focus on like job changing no matter where I go, like, you know, or where we're stationed, which then I just kind of gave it away. So I apologize. But Michael will explain like, I guess his background and why we're even over here.
Yeah. Thanks, Susie. So yeah, as Susie alluded to a little bit, yeah, I'm still active in the Air Force, in the military. I've been in the military for about 16 years now. And before coming here, I was teaching at the Air Force Academy, genetics and molecular biology. And then they want me to continue teaching, so they sent me to get a PhD anywhere. And I was like, cool, we're going to Cambridge, England. And so, yeah, the Air Force is very kind, taking care of me on the back end of my my 20-year career. So getting a PhD here, and then we will return back to Colorado and about a year and a half or so, and I'll be finishing up my military career there. Well, I'll continue teaching at the Air Force Academy and finish up my military career. And then I'll transition.
Michael, man, I don't know, man. 16 years in the Air Force, man. You don't look like you've been 16 years in the Air Force, man.
You're doing well. You know, exercising every day keeps you young, you know what they say?
Yeah, for sure. Super cool. So Susie, you mentioned something really, really cool. I was in the military. I was in the Army when I was younger, and definitely, you know, I wish I would have found real estate investing, especially say for my spouse, or even if for those spouses out there that want to do real estate investing and their better half is in the military. One thing you hit, you kind of said it in there was like you're virtual. You can do it anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a virtual job you can take with you. Yeah, because you know you do have to go look at a property, but you can always partner with somebody who's local and they can go. You don't have to fly all the way from England to go look at it. You don't have to, but definitely virtual. So how did that really help you guys kind of, you know, do real estate investing? The fact that it was virtual, was that a big deal for you?
Yeah. So that's actually what started it all, right? So like when COVID-19 and all the lockdowns happened, like over here, our first lockdown was a little over 100 days, but we didn't know that at the time. And like lockdown over here meant we could only leave the house once a day to work out or go to the grocery store, like the pharmacy. And so with that, like Michael and I started a mini book club. One of those books was Multiple Streams of Income by Robert Allen. And a couple chapters in, it talks about real estate investing. And, you know, Michael just looked at me and said, let's do this. And I was like, okay. And once we found out that the whole world had gone virtual, you know, not just like bits and pieces, that was our greatest opportunity because we now got to meet people from all over, you know, like we were meeting people from meetups that were usually in person, but had to go online. We were able to attend conferences that were always in person, right? And now they had gone online. So like it literally exploded it all because that's even how it started. But even now, right, because of all the connections we've made virtually, it does not necessarily matter if any of the meetups go back to in person, because we already have those connections and those relationships.
I mean, for sure. You know, COVID-19 definitely changed a lot of stuff from, you know, as far as everybody working, right? Everybody got used to, a lot of people wanted to meet face to face, and now, hey, let's just do a Zoom call, right? That's just the way it is. And for you, Michael, so as far as, you know, being in the military, you got a, you know, you got career, you got a few more years, maybe you stay a little bit longer, maybe you retire at 20, but you know, how important was that to you, right? Being able to be virtual basically anywhere.
Yeah, it's huge. We just took advantage of like the time that we had. You know, I was away from the lab. I could, all my work I was doing was, you know, wet lab research. And so as I was home and I couldn't really do anything in the lab, like I did work on my report for my PhD and things like that. But besides that, like Susie said, everything was virtual, and that was huge for us. Because we could build those relationships. We can join networking events that were in Washington State, in Texas, wherever, right? And meet people. And that's how we met all of our partners. And that's how we met most of our investors. And that's how we've met our mentor as well, right? So it was huge. It was a silver lining for COVID for sure.
Well, Susie, so you mentioned you read a book by Robert Allen. Have you ever got a chance to meet him?
No, I wish. That would be cool.
I have a call with him in about an hour and 45 minutes.
You do not. Yeah, well, do. We're going to be for here sure. with you.
in the previous podcast, I mentioned we're doing a Teen Millionaire Challenge. So a friend of mine, Tin Mai, and then and Robert Allen, they chose me as a multifamily guy. We're going to have like 20 teenagers come to Raleigh, North Carolina, and then I'm going to mentor them for 2 weeks. They're going to go off for a year. And, you know, that's basically it. Big picture, right? And Robert Allen's
phenomenal. Really cool.
Yeah, definitely. He'll be out here in Raleigh, and it'll be pretty cool. So I'm actually surprised. I'm happy you mentioned Robert Allen there.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Wild.
Nobody ever knows who that is.
That's I know. Great. It's like, yeah, Robert Allen. Of course, man. Robert G. Allen, by the way. Just everybody out there, Google him. Man, he's got a lot of books out there. So yeah. a lot of good stuff. A lot of people started real estate investing just because of him, or just kind of started thinking outside the box. He's got a lot of cool stuff out there.
Absolutely. So,
hey, I want to hit another, you guys, I was looking at your website and you have this saying kind of pretty much in a few places, and it's called return on impact. So which one of you wants to answer that? What does that mean?
Yeah, no, I can. And so the main thing is that like we focus on a different ROI, right? Because more often than not, like you're not hearing about impact and what that is. Like you're just hearing about return on investment. And so for us, like return on impact, like if I break it down to what it means to us, it's like serving beyond our four walls. And what that means is that like in this space, like especially with the residents, right? Because we're in the world of apartment syndications, like how can we impact them while also impacting our investors? You know, like we want an equal footing for everyone, right? Because like there are almost 8 billion people in this world. And if even half of us like try to impact somebody positively 1% every day, like think amazing how that ripple would be. And so that's what we're just trying to do. So like in our business plan, we make sure to implement or like allocate enough money to be able to make a positive impact in their lives, whether that's adding like in-unit washers and dryers so that they don't have to go to a laundromat anymore and they get all that time back, or making sure that we are having consistent resident and community events, you know, like adding stuff to the property that doesn't necessarily just involve like a traditional unit renovation. You know, like we want to make these places a safe space and a space where people like are thinking beyond surviving, right? Like we have the basic need of shelter covered. What can we do from there? Because like resident retention is truly like the best compliment, right? Because they want to stay. And so we want to make sure that we're like building communities where like they feel appreciated, right? Because all humans just want to be heard and acknowledged. And we want to make sure that our residents are also people who are being heard and being acknowledged. And so we just try to go like above and beyond, right? And even if that's just doing extra research, like on amenities or how we can like work with the city of Tulsa to implement more like green initiatives, like doing the extra work just to make sure that like the residents are winning. And then in turn, then our investors are winning as well.
Yeah. So one of the biggest things, right? A lot of people that, you know, buy multifamily or lease out space, you know, to tenants, right? That they're, if you think about it, they're actually our clients, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people don't see it that way, you know? So yeah, you got to definitely take care of your clients, especially if you got really good ones, and how can you make their life a lot easier? So that's pretty cool. I really, not many people do that. So kudos on you too, to be just part of your mission.
Yeah, absolutely. And to leverage like what I've learned in the military as well, like one of my commanders, like somewhere along the line, I don't remember exactly who it was, and maybe I could trace it back eventually, but he always said like people first, mission second, right? So like we've kind of adopted that in our business, right? And that plays along with ROI, return on impact, because we do care about the residents first, right? Like we want to take care of them first. We can always explain, hey, we had to spend an extra $5,000 to fix this person's flooded apartment or something like that, right? Or something, right? Because we need to make sure that we're taking care of the residents, make sure that they are living in a safe place where they can thrive versus survive. And then we can then focus on returns after that.
So why don't you guys tell me a little bit about kind of your real estate journey, just big picture, where do you guys start, where you at, and like, where are you going with it?
Absolutely. And so like everything started like last March of 2020, right? And we actually had like a false start into real estate investing. Like initially we found out the world of Bigger Pockets, right? And through Bigger Pockets, it's really focusing on single family homes. And so just to do like big picture, we had set up a team and everything in Cedar Rapids, Iowa to do BRRRS. So buy, rehab, refinance, rent, repeat. Okay, I got it. I was like, I remember. And we were in the process of closing on two properties and an inland hurricane went through. So no water, just wind, but it destroyed so much of the city that we had to take a step back and say like, okay, well, our 5-year goal was to get into multifamily. So we're just going to have to do it now. Right. And so that's really when we pivoted, and we pivoted like August of last year. And then from there, just like the education changed, the networking, how that changed, you know, we started investor calls. We started pumping out more content just because like you need to have so many touch points, you know, when you're not meeting people in person. And so I guess from there, we closed on our first asset in February, and that was an 88 unit. And then at the very beginning of July, we closed on our second, which was 100 unit, both in Tulsa and the Tulsa MSA. So it's like, it's very big picture.
Yeah, we're under contract for a JV opportunity right now as well.
So. Mm-hmm. Oh, super cool. Same area around Tulsa.
This one's actually in Arlington, just because okay. One of our partners is based out of there. So
out of Virginia, right?
Texas.
Or Arlington, Texas. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's right. There's also Arlington right around
there. Yeah, right between Fort Worth and Dallas, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Look, guys, so something you said it was key, Susie, was, hey, you guys wanted to do a single family, so you went to Bigger Pockets. You said, I'm going to do the BRRRR method. You were focused. You know, unfortunately, there was a tornado, but you said, hey, we want to do a multifamily 5 years from now. I get people all the time saying, because I used to do single family, right? I used to flip 50 properties a year, right? Wow. I tell everybody that I'm 24, but I look like I'm 42 because I used to flip properties, right? But, you know, I tell people like, hey, eventually I want to get into I get that all the time. Eventually I want to get into multifamily. And I ask them, why eventually? I mean, what are you waiting for? That's my answer to them, right? Like you said, all we did was just pivot. Like we pivot, hang out with different people, right? Yeah. If you guys would hang out with flippers, you'd be flipping properties. Nothing wrong with flipping properties. But if you're hanging out with people who buy medical buildings, guess what you guys are going to do? You guys are going to buy medical buildings. But you guys decided to buy apartments. So, you know, just pivoting, hanging out with the right people, networking, especially now with, like I'm saying, Zoom, you can be, I know, Michael, you mentioned you can be on a call, somebody in Seattle, somebody in California, somebody in Florida, and it can be virtual, right? You don't have to be in person. You can actually hit more people that way because, you know, you can be in 3 meetings in one day. It's been pretty hard to fly. Right. You know, to all those meetings in person. So I'm super cool, man. Awesome for you guys. You guys pivot. You guys two properties under your belt, and a third one coming pretty soon. And I know that you guys are working every day. For sure, you got some more stuff in the pipeline.
Yeah. And you know, like even just to go off of what you were just saying, like the biggest thing too is just to like try out a meetup, you know, because like in the first meetup that we ever went to, I'm going to have to say there were probably like 35 people. Everyone looks different, but we all want the same thing. You know, like you see other women in the space, you see other military members in the space, you know, you see other people who look like you, who talk like you. There were so many different people there that it's like, well, if they can all do it, like, why can't I, you know? And majority of the time, they're all recommending the same books. They're all recommending the same thing. It's like, everybody is just doing what works. We're not like all coming up with brand new ideas. Mm-hmm. We're just doing what works. And what works for millionaires are also working for people who are just starting out. It's just like the, when they started, that time difference is the only thing that's like different between the two, you know? And so, I mean, if you are truly passionate, like about your goals and truly passionate about like where you want to be by a certain amount of like where you are in life, I promise like scaling will get you there and you will be so happy that you scaled.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. Everybody, you know, has, I call it an investor personality, right? So you got your risk tolerance, you figure out what you feel comfortable with, and everybody has to stick to that. Right.
Yeah.
So, right, if you want to scale, you got to go big. Right. I mean, I know folks that buy single family, but man, you got to buy 20 at a time, 40 at a time, and you can scale, but not as quickly as a multifamily. And one of the biggest things about going to in-person events is you'll meet somebody who has 1,000 units and you're like, he has 1,000 units. Like, no, like, come on, really? I can do it. If he can do it, I can do it. Right. I mean, it happens
exactly,
all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, well, if you ever meet me, you'll be like, oh man, I can definitely do that.
Well, I can definitely do it. Yeah. Even from my perspective, right? Like I can leave my traditional like 9 to 5 at the end of August. Like if I am leaving mine, you know, like, and I have an MBA, I went through the education. I don't feel like I'm wasting any part of that space, you know, like, yep. From everything that I've done in life has been a stepping stone. Like, just think of it that way. Nothing that you have done so far is a waste. But like, now I get to do real estate or work on real estate full time and truly focus on that. Like, and I'm doing it from a different country. So I promise, like, it can happen no matter where you are. And all you have to do is have like the systems and processes in place. Like, if you work on that, I promise everything else falls into place. You know, mm-hmm. like that inconsistency, you just have to be consistent and do what you said you were going to do.
Yeah. Trust your system, right? Trust your system. And one of the biggest things, Michael, you're going to notice right away as soon as Susie stops or quits her job is you're going to realize your investment business is going to 10X. Trust me, it will 10X because those 40 hours a week you're giving to your boss or to another job, you're going to be able to put it in your business, right? You'll be able to find more investors, find more deals, whatever it is you got in your business plan. It will happen. Trust me. You know, I've been there and I know people that do it all the time. You know, they don't want to step away from a nice paying job and they step away and they're like, man, I should have done this. Everybody that I know says, I should have done this years ago.
Right? We're all just used to the comfort. Like, it's comforting, but like, trust me, you get comfortable in real estate investing really fast.
Right.
So,
we're growing up with this mindset with like a 9 to 5 is something that's safe. But it's like, you control nothing what goes on, really, right? Like, you don't control what your boss does or what the company ends up doing, you know? It could be some scandal or whatever, you know, and then your company goes up belly up, right? Like that is not safe. You know, investing in yourself and running your own company, like Susie's going to take over ours, like, and do that full time. That is safe because
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because it's Susie. But you know, what we're producing is all based on her, right? So like that's safe to us, right? And but it took a mindset shift for us to be able to realize that.
Yeah, sure. Because we think a career is like like a traditional W-2 is our identity, but it's not. Like who we are as people is our identity. And you as a person will be who you are in your like traditional 9 to 5 or in your business. You know, it's like who you are at your core, not, I don't know, for me, it'd be like program manager for a biotech company. That is not my identity, you know?
Yeah, for sure, man. I love you guys' energy, and I got a couple more questions for you. So one of my question is, what's the biggest? How long you guys been together? How long?
We have 3 years.
Yeah,
3 years.
3 years.
And then investing together a little bit, what, a year and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the biggest challenge? I'm gonna ask Michael. No, I'm gonna ask Susie first. What's the biggest challenge working together with Michael?
Challenge. Okay, actually, so I can just say it. So like sometimes he wants to run, his motor runs longer than mine. So I guess that's the challenge, right? Because I think like as much as I'd like my motor to run as long, it just doesn't. And so that's a challenge, right? Whereas like in a traditional 9 to 5, like 5 comes and I can be done. But like in this business, we're not to the place where I can just be like, oh, we're done. I mean, we are. I can technically say we're done, but I feel bad. Whereas like I don't feel bad leaving my workplace at 5 because those are my contracted hours.
For sure. All right, Michael. Hey, we can have her leave the room and we can have a chat together.
No, I mean, so what we did early on in the business, so like, okay, very early on, like we were kind of all trying to do, we both were doing like the same things, butting heads on that. Like, and so we took a step back very early on and said, okay, I'm going to focus on acquisitions, broker relations, you know, underwriting, things like that. You're going to focus on, you know, Susie's going to focus on marketing, investor relations, everything like that. And then we can kind of focus on two different swim lanes. So like at the very beginning, yeah. So that has kept us from like running, stepping on each other's toes and like getting upset with each other and things like that. But now I've learned to, because of Susie, she's done it like, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock at night and she's ready to kind of wind down and go to bed. So like, I know, okay, we wake up earlier and yeah. That is
and
her
that's
green
why I'm
zone.
Great. Yeah.
The green zone. So we're still learning each other, sure. like how to work with each other even better, but and be more efficient at working with each other. But I think we got it hammered out pretty well right now. And of course, we're just tweaking everything. So
look, yeah, like in our relationship, like I'm the person who doesn't need coffee in the morning. I'm just like ready, and he's like, whoa.
Yeah, I can stay up till midnight working on things, but then in the morning, the more I'm getting better though. So I do wake up at 5. I you know, get my titer of coffee up, you know, a couple gallons or something like that, and I'm good to go. So.
Hey, look, guys, it's awesome working together. It's all, you know, it's says, you know, there's always some challenges. Every time my wife listens to one of the podcasts and I ask somebody if there's a challenge working with their spouse, she'll text me. She's like, when are you going to have me on? Like, oh, geez, no, I don't want to have you. I don't have you. It'll be like a 2-hour podcast and come in with a football helmet and some pads. It's going to get beat up pretty good. So I'll definitely get beat up pretty good. But. Funny. You know, it's nice, right? You'll be able to work together as a couple and eventually everybody finds their role, right? And then you guys move forward. So that's super cool. I'm glad you guys are doing this podcast together as well.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, right, like guys, when your like passions and dreams are like intertwined, everything just runs so much faster and so much smoother. And that's just really how we saw it, right? There wasn't ever a thought like, oh, we'll do this separately. Cause it's like, well, if everything about us is pretty much intertwined, this has to be as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely, right? And if you guys are on agreement and you guys can work it out, it's always better, right? It just makes it a lot easier, a lot smoother. Yeah. Especially you got to be with each other all the time.
Yeah.
You know? One more tip for your listeners too. Sorry.
Right, go for it.
But that's really helped us work together really well. It's like we journal with each other every morning and then we read each other's journals. Like in the journal, we write down like the goals we have for the day. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we kind of put each other in check. Hey, do these goals reach our, or are these goals in alignment or on the right vector with our, you know, 30, 60, 90 day goals or year end goals or 3-year goals? And so, like, we're able to put each other in check at that point. So we're not just working on something that's kind of like off on the sidelines, if that makes sense. So.
Oh, that's super cool. Yeah. You guys are kind of having your company meeting every morning.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, hey, let's kick off. Let's go. Make sure everybody's in the same line. It's just a company meeting. That's awesome. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to ask you, I got one more question and then I'm going to go to the favorite part of the show, which is I call it the Naked Truth Roulette, right? It's just a random roulette. I roll it and it's got some random questions.
Perfect.
That I'm going to ask you guys. Got nothing to do with real estate. But before we go there, I want to talk about what was your guys' like greatest fear before you guys jumped into real estate investing? Like if you had a fear and has it come true?
So the biggest fear for me, you said before real estate investing or just?
Yeah, or even moving forward, right? Like, say, okay, I started real estate investing. Like, you know, do you have a fear there that said, okay, like maybe, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. So that my biggest fear for some reason, like when I hit submit on my first LOI, which is like over $7 million, I was like having a panic attack. So I was like, what if we get accepted? You know, like then we've got to figure it out. Right. And so, but then clicking that send button, it was fine. Everything was fine. Yeah. You know, we didn't get that LOI, but we did get one, you know, for several million dollars after that. And it was fine.
So when you push that send on this LOI, you didn't get hit by lightning, right? Nothing happened, right?
Nothing happened.
Button, like, nobody called you, yelled at you. Nobody did not. You just push the button, right? Yeah. That's a big step. I mean, you send in an offer for $7 million and you're like, oh, shoot. What happens if they say yes, right? So that's pretty good. Yeah. And and you kind of find out it. You shouldn't be afraid of that. Because how many offers have you sent now? How do you feel now when you send an LOI?
I don't even think about it.
Yeah, it's like, can we get it out faster?
You're waiting for the LOI.
Yeah.
Susie, anything for you in particular that stood out?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was like, will investors actually invest with us because it's our first deal? You know, like, do they just say yes, like, because it's awkward on a call? Like, have they put down a soft commit, but really they have another place for it? Like, have I been asking the right questions in order for them to feel comfortable enough? You know, has my weirdness come out too much? And they're like, oh, I don't know if we're going to invest with her, you know? So that's really just what it was. But then now, even just after the first one, like, you know what you're capable of doing and you know if you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, that's super cool. And you said your weirdness. Well, I don't think it's weirdness. I just think, I think being ordinary sucks and you're just not ordinary.
Yes.
I love it.
You're not ordinary, guys. So, I'm going to get a t-shirt that says ordinary sucks.
I like that.
Right, in the back, it says, if you're offended, you know, I'm just going to leave like that. That means you're ordinary.
You're ordinary. Yeah.
If you're offended, just dot, dot, dot. Like, that's it. But anyways, all right, guys. I'm going to bring out the roulette.
Oh, fun.
Do we get to pick if it's G or R?
Oh, how do you know that?
I listened.
Well, there is a rated G and a rated R roulette. I've done a rated R roulette one time, but you guys let me know.
Oh, man.
No, we'll do R.
Oh, my gosh.
I was ready. What do you mean? I was ready for this.
All right. Let's spin it. Let's go. It's got nothing to do real estate investing. Let's see. Last time I got pretty lucky, got some pretty decent questions. So let's roll. Naked Truth Roulette, the rated R version.
Woo.
Okay, what has been your worst date? How about that?
Oh, this is awkward.
Go for it.
So I won't go like into the details, but it was so bad that I had to text my dad like 911 and he called me and pretended that there was an emergency at home. So I had to leave. That's how bad it was though.
Oh my
God. Like, I mean, even just to give like a glimpse, right? Like, he told me at dinner that he couldn't eat because I was just so beautiful. I was like, whoa, we are like not going there. Like, this, I literally don't know you. But then it progressively got more weird, just like through other actions that I'm not going to say.
All right. Well, there you go. She had to text your dad 911. My daughter went on a date one time and she's like, dad, we're out of the movies. I said, okay, great. I'm shopping at the Walmart right across the street. And she's like, you're shopping in the parking lot? Like, she can track me. You know, I'm just sitting there in the truck, just waiting for her to text me. Yeah, she did text me, actually. She said, dad, come pick me up. Like, oh, I was there in 30 seconds.
That's awesome.
Anyways, all right, Michael, go ahead.
Oh, man, I was trying to think of something. I'm drawing a blank.
I gotta say, like, hey, man, all my dates were good.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of a really negative experience that I've had on any of my dates.
He doesn't remember any of them before me, and that's after, right, they were all phenomenal.
Second, so I can, if there's something bad happening, I can usually turn around somehow. And if they had a bad experience, it was on them, not on my side, right?
So. that's a good idea. All right, let's go with question number two. Hopefully this question.
Yeah.
It says, like, it's a good question because honestly, I don't remember what's on this roulette, guys. I'll be 100% honest. I don't remember what's on here. Oh my gosh. Okay. If you could take anyone of the opposite sex on a 7-day, no restrictions, exotic trip, who would it be? And I already have five people in my mind.
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh my God. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, there opposite you go. Sex. Yeah. Matthew McConaughey.
Opposite sex.
Opposite sex, man.
Oh, opposite sex.
Yeah.
It's same. Okay.
No. Jennifer Aniston, for sure.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, Matthew, I was like, McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, that's right. There you go. What does he go? He says, all right. Yeah.
All right.
It's not too bad. Not too bad, guys. You're going to get a lot of people investing in you guys now because now they know you guys perfectly, right? There you go. Ah, okay. What part of your body would you do cosmetic surgery on?
My calves.
Your calves.
Hey, yeah, for sure. Like, you want to get some abs? Yeah.
Calves.
Oh, okay.
I guess I would do like this part of my arm.
Yeah, you know, that's so hard. You know, it's like super hard. There we go. That was not a regular question. It was just a regular question. You guys, it was only three questions. I know you guys want to keep going. But no, that's it. It was just, really good sports and taking the harder roulette, which I hadn't done it in a while. And honestly forgot what was actually in that roulette. So
it's totally fine. It was fun.
It's all good.
I got to go back fun. In there and do fantastic. It. So, You guys are great sports. I appreciate you guys being on the show. And I know you guys have a podcast. If you want to tell everybody what your podcast is and how can people get a hold of you?
Absolutely. So thanks for asking. Our podcast is The Adventures of a Real Estate Investor. And what it focuses on is that, like, we interview real estate, anyone, as in, like, they are ordinary, anyone can do this, and how they're creating an impact in their community or in their family while leveraging real estate investing. So really, it's just showing that, like, through real estate investing, you can create huge impacts. And we just want to, you know, showcase it to the entire world. But then you can also find us on our website. So adventurousrei.com/info. And there we have, like, our LinkedIn profile, our YouTube channel, our podcast. You can learn more about return on impact. And we choose that because we know that everybody, like, wants to reach out in a different way. So we just put it all in one spot to make it easier.
You guys have such a nice website. It flows really good. It just flows really nice.
A lot of love went into it. Yeah. So I'm glad. Yes,
together, spend a lot of time and energy, like, really putting the thought and process into, because it flows really, really nice, guys.
Thank you.
I was very impressed.
Just to add on to that YouTube channel, it's something we just launched on July 1st, actually. And we're actually rolling out three videos a week. So we have a podcast video on Tuesdays. On Thursdays, Susie talks about something mindset related in real estate. And then on Saturdays, I release a video that's more real estate specific.
Super cool. All right, guys. So go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel and go check out their website, which is
Adventurous REI.
Sorry, I apologize about adventurousrei.com. And it's of all things, just go check the website. It's pretty cool. They definitely took the hardest roulette. So let's get them some subscribers to YouTube. So guys, I really appreciate it being on the show. Michael, thank you for your service.
Appreciate it.
Enjoy the UK and tea with milk. I don't know. That's a thing.
Oh, I love it.
I've never had it. I love tea. I love coffee, but I got to try some tea with some milk or half and half. I don't know what they put in there.
Yeah, there's whole milk or something like that.
Whole milk. Okay. Awesome. Well, appreciate it. Again, thank you so much. I'm Javier, your host. Don't lose your church.
Time consuming. It can be very scary. It could be like trying to get somewhere without a roadmap. So that's why I created this due diligence list. When I buy a property, when I buy an apartment building, or even a mobile home park, you can use it for mostly pretty much any commercial property. But this one specifically is for a multifamily. It could be a 6-unit. It could be a 600 unit. You can use it for what you like. So go ahead and sign up, put your name, email. I'll send you the free link to my due diligence. This is what I've used to buy hundreds and hundreds of units, if not thousands of units. So sign up, you get my link. You get an Excel sheet as well. And also we use the software, project management software, monday.com. Feel free to sign up for a free trial. I do have an affiliate link. You don't pay any extra. They just pay me a small fee. Don't have to use it. You have the Excel spreadsheet, but if you use monday.com, it's actually a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot prettier, and you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. There's even a video there I created in the link. So check the link, sign up, and this is my giveaway for you guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.